Now, why does God give us all these 7,000 promises? He wants you to learn to trust him. And the more you trust him, the more it makes God smile. See, God isn't just interested in you accomplishing a bunch of things. He's more interested in your character than your career, because you're not taking your career to heaven, but you are taking your character. And so by trusting God for goals, you're not only reaching your goal and he's giving you the power to reach it, but you're learning to trust.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick Warren will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling, stay with us for this amazing series. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Awesome Power of Focus.
The difference between godly goal setting and just regular old secular goal setting is you claim a promise. And that gives you the courage and the faith to move forward when you'd be scared or you'd be worried or you'd be worried and upset over the potential problems. Now, right now in the goal setting, you don't worry about the problems. You don't worry about the obstacles. You don't worry about the barriers between you and the goal that you want to set. That comes later on. But what you do is you find a promise. Now, in this case, Eleazar, as Tom said, was a little upset. He's a little scared because Abraham said, I want you to go find my son a wife. And he's a little uptight about it. I mean, what if he finds a doofus, you know, and brings back the wrong girl or something? And Isaac doesn't like her. Well, there's a little bit of trepidation there. But Abraham calms him down by giving him a promise. He says, you know, Eleazar, you don't have to worry about this, because God has already promised me that my future generations will become so many, they're going to become a nation that will be the nation of Israel. So I know that it's inevitable that Isaac's going to get a wife, and it's going to happen, so you're just going to be part of the program. In fact, in verse 7, Abraham says this to Eleazar, the Lord God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me, there's that word, promised me on oath, saying, to your offsprings I will give you this land. What land is he talking about? Israel. By the way, do you know where Abraham was from originally? Iraq. Iraq. He was a native of Iraq. It was called Ur of the Chaldees in those days. I'd like to be from a country called Ur. Where are you from? Ur. Where are you going? You going home for Christmas? Yeah, where are you going? Sounds like he's got gas or something, you know? Honestly, you know? But I'm glad they now call it Iraq. That's a little better name. But he was from Iraq. He's moved to Israel. And he says, you know what? I'm going to send you back to the home country to find somebody from my own kinsmen, my own family line, the same faith and everything that Tom just said. He said, to your offspring I will give you this land, and he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. God gave him a promise. And after that, Eleazar's fear and worrying about, am I going to reach this goal, vanishes. And when you set goals, you always need to find a promise from God's word that you can hold on to. Godly goal setting is always based on a promise. You don't just look at your own ability. You don't look at your own resources, like the time you've got, the money you've got, the energy you've got, the connections you've got. You look at what God has. I'll never forget in 1980 when I moved here to start Saddleback Church. 25 years old, no money and no members and no building. And we started, and we were just a little group, a little Bible study, and a guy asked me, he said, well, how big do you think Saddleback Church is going to get someday? And I said, 20,000 people. And he looked at me and he said, who do you think you are? I said, that's the wrong question. The question is not, who do I think I am? The question is, who do I think God is? It's not what I can do, it's what God can do. I happen to serve a big God. And really, you don't even have to have great faith to accomplish great things, folks. Just a little faith. If you put a little faith in a big God, you're going to get big results. You don't have to have big faith. I don't have big faith. You just put a little faith. It's not the size of your faith that matters. It's the size of your God. My God, the God of the universe, can do anything. And so I was trusting not in my own abilities, but in God's ability to do it. And he had given me promises. And you let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. In fact, if you set a goal that you can accomplish in the power of your own energy, that doesn't cause it. That doesn't take any faith. It doesn't take any trusting God to do that. You've just done it on your own power. And that doesn't please God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what is it to please God? When you set a goal that is so big, it stretches you. And you think, you know, I don't really know if I can accomplish this on my own. I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to do such and such. Or I'm going to start this business. Or I'm going to... And you pray about it and then you get a promise from God's word. And you set out in faith, trusting in him, not just in yourself. Godly goals are based on a promise of God. So here's the question you want to ask in step three. What promise can I claim? Which of these 7,000 promises that are in the Bible can I claim as I'm setting this goal for my business, or setting this goal for my family, or setting this goal for my finances, or whatever, in 2006? Now, I know what a lot of you think. You say, Rick, I don't know those promises. And that's why you need to study the Bible. Is that the more you know this book, the more confident you're going to become in life. People who are not confident don't know the Bible. It's like if you had an insurance policy and you didn't know what the policy covered, you'd worry about it. But if you know the policy covers it, you're not worried because you know it's going to be covered. And the same thing, God has given a bunch of policy coverages in his word, and you don't know it, and that's why you worry so much. God says, I'm waiting for you to claim these promises. Now, why does God give us all these 7,000 promises? Well, as I said, it's because he wants us to trust him. He wants you to learn to trust him. And the more you trust him, the more it makes God smile. See, God isn't just interested in you accomplishing a bunch of things. He's more interested in what you're becoming than in what you're doing. He's more interested in your character than your career, because you're not taking your career to heaven, but you are taking your character. And so by trusting God for goals, you're not only reaching your goal and he's giving you the power to reach it, but you're learning to trust.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. You know, it's your prayers and financial gifts that help keep this Daily Hope teaching going out day after day to people all around the world. Earlier this month, we let you know about a special $25,000 matching grant that would double your gift by June 30th. Well, we've got some incredible news. Not only did we match the $25,000, but another generous friend was so inspired by your response that he's offered a second matching grant of $15,000. That means whatever amount you send in will be matched up to $15,000. So $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you send will be doubled. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point in the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ
by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
We'll say thanks for your gift today, which will be doubled by the $15,000 matching grant, by sending you Pastor Rick's 365-day book, The Daniel Plan Devotional. It's the one essential ingredient you don't want to live without for a better, healthier you. Give now to have your gift doubled and request your copy. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or visit us online at PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. And thank you for your generous support to share the hope of Christ. There are only 3 days left to have your gift matched, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Step four in godly goal setting is to describe the prophet. Describe the prophet. And what I mean by that is you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. You have to clearly have a payoff. There's got to be a reward, some kind of profitability, some kind of benefit. If you don't know the benefit of your goal and you don't clearly define it and describe it, then you're not going to be motivated to keep it up, to go after it. You have to settle the value of why am I doing what I'm doing? This is the reason why so many people fall away on goals. They set a goal, and it's a goal they think they ought to set, but they don't understand the power of motivation, that you have to know what the payoff, what the reward is. Now, in this guy Eleazar's case, he's the servant of Abraham. He's sent off to go back to Iraq to find a wife for Isaac. And what's the payoff for him? Well, there's several things. First, Isaac's going to get a wife. That's a good thing. Second, God's purpose will be fulfilled. That's a good thing. Third, his master's going to be pleased. That's a good thing. And fourth, he's going to be rewarded for his service. And so he knows why he's doing what he's doing. Now, in this step, you want to ask certain questions. Here are the questions you want to ask. There are three of them. First, what is the reward? What is the reward? The second is, why do I want it? You need to know why you're setting the goal and clearly spell out the why. Why do I want it? And third, you want to ask, how will I feel when I finish? In other words, when I complete my project, when I reach my goal, how am I going to feel? And you imagine how you're going to feel when you finish that. You know, one of the greatest gifts God has given you is the gift of imagination. It's a good thing. Now, it can be used in a wrong way, but it's a good thing. You see, you're most like God when you're creative, because God is a creator, and he made human beings in his image. That means anytime you're creating anything, art, project, a building, you know, anytime you are being creative, music or whatever, God is smiling at you, and he's going, good, they get it. That's my boy. That's my girl. You're doing what I want you to do. I made you to be creative, because when you create things, you're like me. God is the creator. And all creativity comes from God. It can be misused, but it comes from God. So God says, I want you to use your imagination and imagine how it's going to feel once you reach that goal. Now, why is this important? Why is it important to describe the prophet in detail? A couple reasons. I have learned that when you figure out why, God shows you how. It's just a principle of life. In any area of life, when you figure out the why, God will show you how. When you figure out why you want to save your marriage, God will show you how. If you don't know why, you're not going to ever figure out how. If you want to become a certain person, or if you want to have a certain career, once you figure out why, God can show you how. But he's not going to show you how until you know why, because he's more interested in your motivation than your accomplishments. He's more interested in your heart. And when I started Saddleback, I knew why God wanted me to do it. It's going to reach people for Jesus Christ. I certainly didn't know how. I wasn't confusing the problem solving with the decision making. Same thing with the peace plan that we're doing right now. We know why God wants us to do the peace plan. We don't know how. I mean, when it comes to taking on these five global giants of poverty and disease and illiteracy and leadership training and spiritual emptiness, we know why God wants us to do the peace plan. And so we're very confident in the what. But at the same time, we're very humble in saying, we don't know how. But that doesn't stop us. You don't have to know how to make the decision to move forward. And as you move forward, God will teach you the how. That's where the faith comes in. That's where the trust in me part comes in. The other reason why you need to know why you're doing what you're doing is because when things get tough, if you don't know why, you'll give up. If you don't know why you're in school, then you're going to give up when it gets tough. If you don't know why you're trying to make your marriage work, you're going to give up. If you don't know why you're trying to lose weight or learn a skill or develop anything in your life, if you don't have the motivation behind it, when times get tough, you will give up. Now, you're going to have problems. The good news is you get some new ones. You know, at least there, you know, it won't be boring. You're going to get some new problems that you've never had before. But that's okay. They help you grow. You describe the prophet. Now, step five is you desire in prayer. Tom's going to talk about that.
Jesus talked a lot about prayer. Look at one of the things he said up on the screen in Mark chapter 11. Jesus said, whatever you desire, pray and believe, and you'll have them. Now, it's interesting there. Did you notice Jesus said, don't just pray about your needs, also pray about your desires. Pray about your goals. Pray about your desires. When you pray about your goals, your prayers about your goals reveal two things. First of all, it reveals your desire for that goal. How much do I want it? How important is it? Your focus on that goal. And it's very interesting. God does something when we're praying about our goals to test our desire. Have you seen this happen? You've got a goal, and just to see how much you really desire it, sometimes God makes you wait a little while until that goal is accomplished. Does this happen to anybody else or just me? This is a common occurrence. And that delay tests your desires. God's delays test the depth of our desires. And in the delay, you get to sort out, is this just a whim or a wish? Or is this really a God-given goal? That's the value of those delays that we all hate. Prayers reveal the desire for the goal, but they also reveal your dependence on God. They let you see something about how much you are really relying on God. Is this just about me? The more I talk to God about it, the more I'm expressing my dependence on God. Eleazar, Abraham's servant, prayed. Look at this verse up on the screen from Genesis 24:12. Then he prayed, O Lord God of my master, give me success and show this kindness to my master, Abraham. Help me to accomplish the purpose of my journey. Now notice, he prayed for success in this goal. Is it ever okay to pray for success? Well, of course it is. What's the alternative? Pray for failure? Who's going to do that? In fact, I've noticed you don't have to pray for failure. It just sort of naturally happens in life. You should pray for success. In fact, if you have a goal in mind that's going to bring honor to God if you accomplish that goal, if you have a goal in mind that's going to help other people, you better pray about that goal. We need more prayers for unselfish goal reaching in this world. He prayed this unselfish prayer for my master's sake. Eleazar made prayer a continual part of this process. He's a great example to me in that. Oftentimes when I have a goal, I'll pray at the beginning and then go set off on my own to do it. But he prayed from beginning to end as you read through his story. Before he went in verse 12, he prayed. After he arrived, he prayed in verse 15. In front of the family, he prayed. On the back of your outline, write this in. Here's the question. He asked, am I praying? Am I praying for my goals?
Now you're ready to talk about the problems. Let's review this again. Step number one, I determine my position. Okay, where am I right now? How am I doing? Step number two, I define my purpose. Where do I want to go? What do I want to be? What do I want to have? What do I want to do? Then I discover a promise, and I find a promise for every one of my goals that I can hold on to and cling to. Then I describe the prophet, and I write down, why do I want this? And how will I feel when I finish and accomplish my goal? And then I start praying for it. And I pray for my goal. As Tom said, you don't just pray for your needs, you pray for your desires. And now you're ready for number six, which is diagnose the problem. Diagnose the problems. Now you're ready to identify the roadblocks and the obstacles and the problems that are in the way between you accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Eliezer had some major barriers to overcome in his goal of getting a wife for Isaac. Now think about this. First, he has to go to a country that he's never been to. Second, he's got to find a young woman out of all the women in that country who's just the right woman to be a wife for Isaac. And he doesn't know her. Third, he's got to convince her to go back to another country with a stranger. Number four, to marry a man she's never met. Would you do that? That's what I'd call mission impossible. And this guy has some big, big obstacles in the way of the goal that he has for what he's supposed to be doing. In fact, in verse 21, he has the problem of finding the right girl. What if I pick the wrong one? And in verse 49, he has the problem of getting the parents' consent to convince the parents to let their daughter go. And then in verse 56 or 58, he's got to convince her to go marry a man she's never met. Now, when you come to this stage in goal setting, you want to ask two questions. You might write these down. Number one, why don't I have this already? Why don't I have this already? You look at your family, or you look at your career, or you look at a hobby. Why don't I have this already? And that'll give you some insight. The other question you want to do as you're diagnosing the problems is, what are the barriers? The biggest, and I'm going to tell you this for your own, save you a little bit of time. The biggest barriers you're ever going to have in your goal setting are emotional barriers.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the entire series, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. You know, it's your prayers and financial gifts that help keep this Daily Hope teaching going out day after day to people all around the world. Earlier this month, we let you know about a special $25,000 matching grant that would double your gift by June 30th. Well, we've got some incredible news. Not only did we match the $25,000, but another generous friend was so inspired by your response that he's offered a second matching grant of $15,000. That means whatever amount you send in will be matched up to $15,000. So $25 becomes $50. $100 becomes $200, and $500 becomes $1,000. Whatever you send will be doubled. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with the hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
We'll say thanks for your gift today, which will be doubled by the $15,000 matching grant, by sending you Pastor Rick's 365-day book, The Daniel Plan Devotional. It's the one essential ingredient you don't want to live without for a better, healthier you. Give now to have your gift doubled and request your copy. Call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or visit us online at PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. There are only 3 days left to have your gift matched, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope Ministry and your generous financial support.